Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everybody, welcome to Beyond the Bell. I'm Andrew Zan. Solo episode today. We got a solo episode. I don't do these too often. I do it every Sunday. So today, we got a special approval from Sean Ross Sapp. Our producer's allowed to speak on the air. MG, can you talk? Can you hear us?
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
okay, I'm cutting you right off. You're off the air now. Nobody could hear you. I just cut him off. It was overwhelming already. MG's going to be joining me a little bit here. We're going to be talking about Monday Night Raw. AEW, we're going into All In. Very exciting stuff. I have a couple questions about this card. They have to be adding a couple more matches the next couple weeks. There's key people missing from this. We'll find out. We'll talk about that. Also, a Q&A segment. It's going to be a lot of Q&A stuff today. So, here's the deal. I'll go through Raw. It's going to be very interactive. I want to interact with the chat room today. I want to talk to you guys. Rich is out on the sign. Where is Rich? Do we know, MG?
Undisclosed location.
I think he's in Boston.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he's in Boston right now. I'm not here next week. I'm going on a boat. I'm going to be far, far away. Rich is in parts unknown. All right, let's talk about Raw. I know you were half watching, but there were some key things here. Also, remember, guys, get your questions ready because we're going to be doing a lot of questions today on the show. I'm liking this Rhea Ripley stuff. It's still going on strong. I'm really enjoying how she's presented. And it's interesting to me because I always look at the crossover, right? The mainstream crossover with this stuff. People that never talk about wrestling are talking to me about this. It's always a positive. And, you know, there's a couple other people that happens. Like, you know, like CM Punk is one of those guys. People talk to me about CM Punk. People that don't watch regularly. Just they catch it every now and then. CM Punk's one. Anytime a veteran returns, obviously Steve Austin, The Rock. Roman Reigns, everybody knows now. He's become a household name. So Rhea Ripley's, I mean, when did this rise really start? Obviously, it had to do with the Judgment Day, but really picked up midway through. It's just something amazing. Yeah.
If you remember, this whole feud started with Rhea and Liv in 2022.
That feud, yeah.
And it's festered into this, but yeah, just if you go back and you realize that this is a long-term story they're telling, that's what makes it so good. It has, they just didn't throw this together in a couple weeks.
Derek in our chat says, I think Rhea played it perfectly. She sold disappointment and betrayal without sadness. Yes, that's exactly what she did. And that's, you know, normally, how they've always portrayed, you know, just like a love triangle where it's hysterics by one side. One side is hysterics, you know, and it kind of breaks the character. Because she's such a dominant character, I was worried that that's how they would portray her. And, you know, I don't necessarily like the damsel in distress angle that everybody falls into, they've done a very good job here. They've shown what a slimeball Dominic is. They've shown how nuts Liv Morgan is. It's done really well. Liv said that Dom says that Liv treats him like a man. He also gets his chicken tendies. Did you see that? Liv lets him eat all his chicken tendies. I also like the Damian Priest pairing. This has been really good. Carlito came out to help Dom. So that led into...
Can I present a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick.
Yeah.
So do you think Liv is coming off too uncomfortable, or is that just enough? Or is she right at the line where it's almost we're going back into the Attitude Era too much?
No, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's right there. For me, it's right
there. It's like right there. You know, and remember, what they are appealing to now is back to a teenage demographic. This storyline is for teenagers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it is. You know, we're enjoying it because we watch wrestling, but it's a very, it's a younger angle. You know, same thing with that bracelet, the Fakakta bracelet. I'm not a fan of the bracelet. But when I said that on social media, I mean, you look at the avatars and you look at the profiles and, you know, this is a younger audience. I wasn't engaging really with them, but it was interesting to see how, like, they're like, how do you not get this? If your wife's name and your dog's name was on some man's wrist, wouldn't you be enraged? I'm like, not really. I kind of want to win the match. And then I could take it. But we see now that they've pivoted from this bracelet stuff. They're slowly leaving that. Damian Priest defeated Carlito, Finn Balor, JD McDonagh, Dominic, and Liv Morgan came out to attack Priest. Ripley almost hit Dom with a riptide, but Morgan again saved her man.
So she saved him this week. Last week he saved her.
This week. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, you know, there's chemistry there with all of them.
Yep. And they set up a mixed tag for the pay-per-view.
Which we'll talk about. Wyatt 6 promo. Bo Dallas says Bray was with them in spirit during the debut match. You know, I hope this goes well. You know, these are hard. This is a very hard faction to have on TV. You know, eventually something's going to give them, here.
They've taken the spooky out of it, and they're rooting it more in just like the person, the people.
And that's fine. And that's fine.
Meaning they can wrestle, and it's not going to be weird. That's the biggest part.
Final Testament confronted the New Day and Jones. Odyssey Jones, by the way. Vincent Winey. Odyssey Jones is a big boy. Really big guy. Mm-hmm. Guys, be sure to get your questions in so we could go into that. Cross tries to say that Kofi Kingston is attempting to replace Xavier with Jones, so they're creating this animosity between them. Xavier tries to set up a tag match for next week, but Kofi interrupted him and set up a six-man. Are they going to break up the New Day? They said they never want to break up.
I think they're going to tease it. I think they're going to make us think they are. And maybe Big E comes back and makes an appearance and saves it. I don't know.
American Made defeated Alpha Academy. That also happened. Sonya, Zoe, and Shayna cut a promo. They have a new name.
It's terrible.
It is worse than I thought it could be. It's the Pure Fusion Collection. Now, Shayna Baszler is a Dragon Ball Z fan. So maybe that's what it is, a fusion dance. Maybe that's what this is in reference to. What a terrible name.
Fusion, I think, in the fact that their fighting styles are all over the place. I think that's, you know, half wrestling, half MMA. I think that's where they're getting it from. But yeah, okay. Still bad.
Yeah, still bad. I think everybody agrees with that. WWE Women's Tag Team Championship number one contendership match, Kairi Sane and Io Sky versus Zoe Starks and Shayna Baszler. It ended in a no contest. All right, fine, whatever. I'm just going through this. There's so many aspects of Raw that I enjoy, and there's so many aspects that I don't, okay? And it's so bizarre because the segment's still, like, I know everything, they've kind of it doesn't feel like two different shows anymore. Like, you would have those moments. Like, the gap is kind of closed in where most of the stuff is decent. But sometimes they just do stuff that I'm totally taken out of. I don't know why it happens so often. Not with SmackDown. I don't feel that with SmackDown. I don't feel that with the pay-per-views. Randy Orton cut a promo about winning his first world championship 20 years ago. Think about that. He has been around forever. He is now the veteran in that locker room. Gunther came out and talked about Randy's past and how he was a total screw-up. Drew McIntyre's music hit. Then Randy hit the RKO. CM Punk then blindsided Drew with a strap. Is this going to a strap match? I think so.
They would have to. A stipulation.
Yeah, there has to be one. But I mean, I guess this is, you know, they had the first one with the guest referee. Now they have the strap one. The third one will be what? A cell? They'll do a cage match.
Maybe a Bad Blood.
Maybe something.
Yeah.
You know, maybe do a cage match. Maybe do something. Kathy Kelly confronted. Who did he confront? I'm sorry. Oh, CM Punk.
Oh, she confronted Punk. Yeah.
Punk, yeah. He said that he had travel issues. Yeah, he lied. Tell me when I'm telling lies. Kathy Kelly confronted him and said, we flew on the same flight. He said he told a white lie so he could get his hands on Drew. He also mentioned that it's not about the bracelet anymore, alluding that that whole idiotic moment in that match made no sense. R-Truth gets, this was hysterical, okay? This was done so well. R-Truth is in the ring. He confuses Braun Breaker with Bronson Reed. It's actually Bronson Reed. Kills everybody. Bronson Reed defeated The Miz. After the match, he gave repeat tsunamis to both The Miz and R-Truth.
R-Truth is dead.
R-Truth is dead. He killed another person. R.I.P. Truth. So that's two people in a row. Good. He deserves this push. You're doing something with him. You don't get guys that like that. You know, he's a big dude. 2 out of 3 pinfall match for the Intercontinental Championship. Braun Breaker defeated Sami Zayn. This was a great main event. And I like that they're continuing this. I feared that they would jump away from Sami after Braun beat him. This was a very good match. So do we get a third match or is this it for them? We'll see. Fallout from Raw. Dakota Kai is out 6 to 8 weeks with a torn meniscus. Ouch. I know what that's like. Otis will challenge Obafemi on NXT tonight after the confrontation they had on Raw. Mark Henry and Jacob Henry and Candice Michelle appeared in the crowd also. All right, cool. It was fine. It was a fine Raw. Nothing wrong.
What did you think of Braun Breaker's entrance?
That was cool.
Entrance to him. And then he called out Pat McAfee and he asked where all his dogs are. And all of a sudden you hear the crowd. I go, that's cool.
Okay. So that was cool. The dogs thing was cool. The entrance was cool. And also when he lawn darted Sammy.
Yes.
They followed
and
him,
the
right?
Was
that
shot,
they were following. Yeah. Was that it? Or was he spearing? I can't remember now.
I think it might have been the spear, but the lawn dart spot, they re-showed it, and they showed it overhead, and I've never seen that shot before. And like,
they're getting very creative.
I don't think it was a boom shot. Yeah, they're doing good stuff.
Yeah, very good stuff. Next week's Monday Night Raw, The New Day, Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston, and Odyssey Jones versus Karrion Kross and AOP. I can't believe they're back. I have a great book here, and it's a poetry book by the authors of Pain. Do you remember that? Somebody sent me that. Somebody made like a parody poetry book about them. I got to find it. I don't know where it is. Years ago, they sent this when they were in NXT. WWE Women's Tag Championship, The Unholy Union versus Damage Control versus Pure Fusion Collective. And also Sheamus and Pete Dunne. This was interesting, this Pete Dunne stuff, because they're trying to get the crowd to call him Butch again, to mock him. So he wants to get the crap out of Sheamus for this.
Total heel, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So far, Bash at Berlin. This is what we have. Gunther, Randy Orton. Cody versus Kevin Owens from SmackDown. We got that. Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley versus Dominic and Liv Morgan. Cool. Awesome. Some news. Let's go into this. Okay, so should we talk about the Tony stuff? that Tony tweet? Or should we save that for the Q&A segment?
Because I'm sure we have somebody.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some questions here.
We actually have a super chat on it. So, yeah, just wait till then.
All right, I'll wait till then. During an interview with Cultaholic, MJF denied the rumors about his confrontation with Britt Baker. Interesting. Tell me if this passed the smell test, he said. I barge into a woman's locker room. I scream in the face of a 110-pound woman. Then I physically threaten her by punching a wall in her vicinity, and I don't get suspended. Does that pass the smell test? Fascinating. Interesting stuff. Also, he defeated Michael Oku at Rev Pro. Will Ospreay ended up doing a run-in. This was good stuff.
Did you see the pre-match
Yeah, when he recited Hulk Hogan's theme. Yeah, he is really leaning into this.
He knows how to
he's such a great piece of crap. He really... I really encourage everybody thinking he's a piece of crap. I don't ever want to expose that he's actually a good guy. But I think it's fantastic stuff. Also, so far for All In, AEW World Championship, Bryan Danielson against Swerve Strickland. This match, I'm so selfish about what I want and how I want this to happen. I really want Bryan to win the title. I really want it. I said this and someone's like, you keep saying that he deserves it. Nobody deserves anything. You're earned. I'm like, you don't think he's earned it? You don't think it's good for business to have a guy that was a WWE World Champion, a main player for over a decade in that company, get your company's title for the first time? He hasn't had it this entire time. I think that's a real positive for the company. Recognizable name, very liked. He's a tremendous baby face. Even when he's a heel, you love him. It's hard to boo that
great
man.
Champion. I mean, he's...
Probably my favorite wrestler of that decade. Nobody better than him, in my opinion. AEW Women's Championship, Toni Storm, Mariah May. Looking forward to that.
Me too.
AEW American Championship, MJF versus Will Ospreay. AEW TBS Championship, Mercedes Moné versus Britt Baker. Jack Perry and Darby Allin for the TNT title. That's what we have so far. You know, there's still some other questions. Where the hell are the tag titles? Where the tag title match, a trio title match? Are you going to have any Ring of Honor stuff on this card? Where is Okada going to be? Where's Okada going to be? You also missed the Battle Royal.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't
have
that on there. Mm-hmm. And then you have that Battle Royal. I was listening to Dave today, and he was saying, I think Brian suggested, he's like, well, maybe Okada will be in that. That'll be, what a waste of an opportunity for Okada.
Well, I mentioned this to you on
I can't see them doing
show.
That. I know, you brought it up too.
Moxley's in it. Yeah.
You know what? Maybe Moxley's in it. Him and Mox would be great. Him and anybody. People in that building want to see a singles Okada match. And you know what? This is your WrestleMania, right? This is what we've presented for all the reasons. Big stadium show. Big mega matches. This is culmination of a lot of angles. You're creating new champions. People are losing titles. How do you not have Okada on this? How have you not told me that Okada's wrestling on this?
Well, we still have two Dynamites and two Collisions, so.
Okay, four shows. You know, what if I'm a huge... I'm playing the total extreme here. What if I'm a huge Okada fan, and I was considering, and now I don't know the match lineup. I'm not going to fly from New York to London. You know, and I think some of that is playing a part. A lot of the travel, I would love to see just a breakdown of where everybody's coming from for the show, because in Europe, it's very easy. Someone said, Joe in chat room, Okada Tanahashi. Man, that would be tremendous. I would be into that. Okada Hangman.
Okada Pac, I think, is the match they were trying to set up, but I don't know what happened to that.
Okada Pac.
Maybe they still are.
I honestly thought it was going to be Cesaro. And I was like, you know, I don't... Jeez, I'm back. I'm Claudio. Sorry, before I get yelled at. I wouldn't mind that, but I don't think that would have been the best match. And that's the match in Cardiff now. So he is wrestling. He is going to be there. I'm traveling from the UK to Seattle for Wrestle Dream. Can't wait, in the chat room, Redmond. I think Okada will be in the Casino Gauntlet. I don't know. Darren in the chat room. Wembley's only 45 minutes away from me. JJ says, Okada Mox. I hope so. Something. But there's a lot of people not announced. A ton of people. All right, let's do a Q&A. What do you say?
If you're ready, let's do it.
Yeah. Actually, RJ says, SRS has repeated how important the Battle Royal has been to become to see. Maybe Okada needs to be in it. No, I mean, I've heard the same thing, that they're planning on doing something big with that Battle Royal. You know, you could put Mox in there. You could put Hangman in there. I always wonder why nobody outside of WWE has figured out how to do a great Royal Rumble match. You know, like, I know AEW's probably done the best of them outside of WWE, but with the Casino Battle Royals, but between the Gauntlets and the Battle Royals, I mean, I would imagine that a pay-per-view could work for them if they did one. Or would you think that people would say, "Oh, just a Royal Rumble copy?"
That might be the problem.
Who cares?
But you know, you look, you have Blood and Guts, and that's a total ripoff of War Games.
Yeah,
and
of course.
That works.
Yeah, I mean, steel cage matches have happened. Battle Royals have happened. All right, let's go into questions. You wanna guide me through this?
Yeah, I'll just throw them up and read them, and you can react to them. How's that? And perfect. Some of these won't be questions. Some are going to be statements. People have some good comments.
That's good. So send them our way.
As we go. All right, so this is the super chat we got. TK tweeting, big announcements. Is the TV deal done? Last Door Gamer.
He was alluding on Twitter a couple days ago, right? Is this yesterday or the day before? I can't. Let me find
it. It was
Tony.
Like 18 hours ago or something. Yeah.
All right. Tony Khan. Let's find him. Tony Khan and Hologram with the children. Which one is this one? I don't see it. Hearing, is it The Time of Our Lives and Wembley? This one? No.
Yes.
No, I don't see anything for that one. So prepared here. Essential. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Nope, that's not it.
It's the first one, 17 hours ago. Thank you all for watching.
Oh, there it is.
As we approach eligible times in our history. All in.
The most important announcement in AEW history ahead. I mean, very well. Very well could be the TV deal is done. Right? That could be it. You know what I'm leaning towards? It's the stadium show that they're going to do in the States for next year. You don't think they'll definitely announce that at Wembley on the 25th? They'll say All In will be taking place in blah, 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 blah. Do you remember what stadium it was?
It's the Texas Rangers.
The Rangers, yeah.
Home ballpark. Yeah. Globe Life Field, I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, they could fit 36,000 people in there, 40,000 people in there, and it'll be successful.
It seats 40 for baseball, so do the math, whatever that
is. They could still do 40,000, and it'll be fine.
Yep.
I mean, it's a matter of can they fit 40, can they do 40,000, but possible. I think it's possible. I think they can. I would think that, I don't know. I can't decrypt Tony and what he thinks is a bigger announcement. Obviously, the TV deal to us is a big announcement, but if you are watching their television product, that doesn't matter to you. You're not thinking about the TV deal. You know what I mean? The normal viewer is not thinking about the TV deal, unless the story is that, you know, he's catering to us. You know, the heavy fans. You know, the heavy fans, I'm sorry. The heavily invested fans. You know, we care about the TV deal. I care about it because I cover this stuff and I've been, you know, giving as much information as I can. But if I'm a regular viewer, yeah, is he talking to the sickos? Or is he talking to the Cadillac Carson, I beg your pardon, sir. I am now heavy. I am not heavy. I don't know how he's thinking here with the tweet. It's either one of those, to be honest. It can't be anything else. Obviously, the stadium show is a big deal. first stadium show, mega stadium show like that in North America. They obviously run Grand Slam, and they've done 20,000 almost in that building, but that's different than selling, you know, a big, you know, 40,000 person stadium. The TV deal and easily is the biggest announcement they could do. Easily. But I don't know who he's speaking to here. I don't see the TV deal not happening. I mean, we talk about this every week for ad nauseum for years. And it's the same story. It's not a matter of if it's happening. It's a matter of what is he getting. We'll see. All right, what else do we have? Put it on the screen.
I'm working on it. Let's see. Let's do this one. This is a statement more, but it's, I could see Okada and Claudio match in Cardiff being used as a conduit to set up the Okada Mox match.
No, Derek's absolutely right. 100%. That could very easily set it up. But why not build it? You know, those people are already going to be in the building. You know, you want to present the biggest possible card ever. So why are you waiting to the last minute? Unless they think it doesn't matter. They know what they're going to sell. They know the buying patterns, and that's it.
Perhaps. Okay. Derek Hubbard has a good one on CM Punk. Given his age and his fragility.
Fragility.
That's a word.
Fragility. Fragility. Given his age. I want to read these. I don't want to read these. Given his age and his fragility, a strap match is a good step for Punk. Whipping with the strap gets big reactions without wasting energy or risking. Yeah, you know, he wrestled very smart. The last match, he was fine. Man, he's put on some size, though, huh? From years past.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't do any stage diving.
As long as he's not doing any stage diving. yeah, I think that's a good stipulation. And then your blow off could be something big. It could be something, you know, he'll win. Maybe he'll win this one. They'll go 1-1, and now you have the third. And the third could be a steel cage match or something. You know, Punk is a big fan of those classic matches, and so is Drew. Drew, I mean, very smart guys, both of them. I like that, though. I like that they have the singles match with something, you know, something important on the line. There's a reason why they're fighting. Then you go into a stipulation. Then you have the big blow-off with a bigger stip. Great. Classic wrestling. Classic dumb wrestling. All right, what else do we have? Pull it up. Paul Anthony Moss, one of the greatest names ever, asked Beyond the Bell, if Bobby Lashley ends up in AEW outside of MVP being with him, would you form the rest of the Hurt Business with in-house AEW talent or bring in others like Shelton Benjamin. Benjamin. My eyes are blind. I can't see anything. I don't know. It's fascinating because you keep thinking like, well, how does Bobby fit in AEW? There's a lot of those guys that you think about. He's a great wrestler. He's fine. You know, could he be an asset to them? Sure. It depends on how he's used. Could people look at him and say, oh my God, they're just getting WWE guys now. This is just a version of WWE. Sure, that also. But I think the presentation and how you position this matter. I think that is the key here. It's not so much Bobby Lashley being in AEW and if and will it work. It's a matter of Bobby Lashley, what are you presenting me with him? Salty B would be a great name. That's a great name. Salty B. I thought that Hurt Business faction was fantastic. I really liked it. I don't know how it'll work. We'll see if it happens. All right, put on the next one.
Here's a comment that I think is a good one.
Okay,
to Derek. Talk about.
Derek. The Battle Royal would be a good place to introduce Ricochet. Yeah, I mean, he could. Great. You know what I fear will happen? Ricochet will cost Ospreay the match.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, I think Ricochet.
I know everybody wants to see that again, but.
Since we're talking about people to go over there, I think Ricochet would be a fantastic addition to that roster. You know, and just for the purpose of, I want to see what he's capable of doing on a national product outside of WWE. We all know how good he is. And just at times it didn't care. You know, he was hot. He wasn't. He was great in NXT. He comes to the main roster. And then it just fizzled. We'll see what happens. I think he would be fantastic in AEW. If he was to go somewhere, that would be the place. All right, put on the next one.
Okay, this is a personal one.
What type of deal did you have to cut with SRS and Fightful for MG's audio to be cleared? I had to take... I'm not getting paid for this show. That's the problem. So I had to sacrifice my salary, my tremendous salary at Fightful for... for his audio here. So unfortunately, I can't go to Bergdorf Goodman this week and go on a shopping spree because I have to pay MG now. That helps.
Here's one.
Okay. The idea of the Hurt Business was much better than their actual output. MVP is a smooth operator with wrestling media, but he has always come up short in the ring and on the mic. It depends on the era of wrestling that you liked. When MVP came into wrestling, you know, around that time, I was watching SmackDown. I was watching WWE, but I wasn't as deeply invested as I've always been. You know, there was a couple year lull that I was on. One was right around the time that MVP showed up. The other one was after Benoit murdering his entire family. You know, that does something, and you start thinking like, you know, this isn't fun anymore. I've had a couple of those with wrestling. Benoit obviously was a major point for me to kind of step back and just pay attention a little bit. I never followed his run as much, but I there is something with him. I definitely think that he would be an asset. I do think he's a good talker. He's way better now. And I liked his role more than anything else. His presence was good. So I don't know. I don't know if that's even a reality of Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Business being put together in AEW, or we've fantasized this on the internet. I don't know. All right, pull up another one. Pull them up, rapid fire. Every time I'm done talking, put them up. All right, super chat. Here we go. $5 from iTouch Squirrels. Yikes.
I love that name.
Tony isn't going to move all in from the UK. It's going to be Double or Nothing next year, stadium show, because WWE is doing Mania in Vegas next year. Okay. I mean, that's a possibility, too. I just don't know the sustainability of going to the same building every year. To that extent. You know, we've seen a dwindle in North America. We've seen what's happened with All Out. Grand Slam is another example. 20,000, 14,000, 11,000, 9, you know, now it's the number is dropping. But that has a lot. I don't know if it's going to the same venue or if it's the product. I don't know. Like, for a big stadium show, That's a big undertaking. You'll risk it with a 10,000 person building. You know, one hot angle, you'll sell it out, but you need multiple hot angles to fill those venues up. So, you know, will it start becoming a disappointment if next year they only have 40,000 people in the building? I don't know. I don't know the financing there. You know, at what point is it not worth it for them to do it financially and go somewhere else, if that helps. All right,
on the same theme,
yeah. Where did the 20,000 fans for the first Arthur Ashe go, and how do you bring them back? I will tell you where they went. They were casual viewers. I know that first show, my entire neighborhood was at that show, okay, for a number of reasons. One, that was the first time ever a non-USTA, United States Tennis Association, event was held in that building. The story of how I found out that it was running there was fascinating, because the previous person that ran the parks department, that property belonged, it sits in Flushing Meadow Park. It's part of the parks department, okay? they have leased the space to the USTA, that facility, right? It's Arthur Ashe Stadium, it's Louis Armstrong Stadium, and then and multiple other ones. I've been going to the U.S. Open since 1999, every year. Beautiful. It's a beautiful grounds. I mean, there's all these other little pockets, little stadiums there. The city has leased them the property for $1 a year, but they have to pay the taxes, which is like $400,000, $500,000 a year, whatever the taxes are. I don't know anymore. This is old math I'm doing. But they pay them. It's a long-term lease. I don't know if it's 99 years or whatever it was. This was done by Mayor Dinkins. He set this whole deal up. So it's on the Parks Department. The USTA cannot run any shows without the approval of the Parks Department. And the previous person that was in charge of the Parks Department did not want any events happening there outside of tennis. So he retired. Somebody else came in. I have a very close friend that works very closely with the New York Mets, Citi Field, and them. He's like, hey, you know, did you know that they're running a wrestling show in Arthur Ashe? I go, that's impossible. That's impossible. No way. And I looked, and guess what? I found it. I looked into it, and I found out that they're doing this. So I find it... Anyway, I give you a whole backstory here. I don't know what's happening in my house. Do you hear that?
I heard that? Something, yeah.
The walls are shaking here. I think my daughter's just...
Earthquake from California?
From California, I think it came here. So when that first show happened, there was a lot of excitement. Also, AEW did tremendous guerrilla marketing, where New York City subways had the AEW all, you know, Grand Slam posters everywhere. The Long Island Railroad had it, the subways had it. And also, they did stenciling all around Midtown Manhattan with AEW Grand Slam with the date all around the city on the concrete. It was fantastic. Really good marketing. That marketing obviously helped. The excitement of having a non-WWE show in New York City. I don't know what's happening here.
Just keep going.
I don't know if my dog is running out the door. Nope, I have no idea. It's like a stampede. It was a lot of non-tradition, not non-fans, to be honest. It was a lot of non-wrestling fans that went to that show. I could tell you upwards of 50, 60 people that I know that do not attend wrestling shows and do not watch wrestling regularly went to it. So that's what it was. More than anything else. That helps. And it was also hot, you know. All right. Give me another one.
Here's a good one. This is a really good one.
All right. Dave says, do you have thoughts on why AEW still looks and feels production-wise, like WWE from years ago? Why not be innovative and shoot the show differently? Use 4K. Do something that screams challenging. Okay, so they could shoot in 4K, but you're not going to be able to see it in 4K because no network broadcasts in 4K. So that's not happening, right? Maybe they do shoot in 4K. Maybe they have 4K cameras. I don't know what the cameras they use is. Can they change it and be a little bit unique? Absolutely. WWE has, you know, AEW's production was very good compared to what WWE was doing, the 500 cuts. Now it's flipped. WWE also has resources that AEW does not have when it comes to people within production that think differently and that, you know, who they hire. I think their production is okay. It's fine. They've tried a lot of changes. I've said I don't like the house lights on when they run a show like that. I don't like it when, you know, like WWE did that with the Garden. They ran the house show lights were on for most of that show. So I don't really like that. I don't like seeing the crowd that much. I thought they looked great when they had the purple and the blues and the pinks in the crowd. So you could kind of see the crowd a little bit and it was dimmed. I know they're trying different stuff production-wise, but they want to be a traditional wrestling show. That's what they are.
A-Shock has a similar question around
okay.
the same line.
A-Shock, what can AEW do to be special again? How does it get heated up? You should be different without copying the WWE. Really good, strong angles. Creative, strong angles. If you create captivating television, people are going to tune in. I honestly, when you look at this decline, I think it was the weird experiments they did last year that made them suffer. You know, between CM Punk's debacle with the Bucks, that set in people's minds. The story became the drama, not the angles. And then they tried to put these angles together. I think that MJF and Adam Cole stuff was not good. I did not like it. Me personally, listen, you may have liked it, and that's great. But for me, I'm speaking my opinion. I can't get into people's minds. I don't have that ability yet. Maybe in a couple of years when I mature, I'll be able to telepathically enter everybody's mind and find out why they stopped watching. Man, that would be tremendous. I want to mesmerize the audience by staring deeply in their eyes like I did last week.
Here we go, new question.
Yeah. All right. Here's one. Paul Anthony Moss. A while ago, seemed like companies like WWE and TNA were highly invested in the Indian market and having talent from there. Lately, not so much. Is it not a big wrestling market anymore? Same with China. No, I think it has to do with growth. You know, WWE obviously wanted, when a market like an American product starts entering China or India, they're realizing that they have capped in North America. So now they need to create growth. They're publicly traded. So they were looking for more of an avenue. I think they did the metrics and they realized financially the cost versus the effort is not maybe worth it. You know, another market is the pay-per-view market. They're out of the pay-per-view market. Before they really thought that there would be, you know, we heard about the stuff with China. You know, certain markets are not big on pay-per-view. China's one of those. India's one of those. So I think it was more of a cost versus diminished returns more than anything else. Is India hot for? Yeah, I think globally right now, wrestling is very hot, especially in India, in Pakistan. You know, these are markets that it's hot, but I think the cost is the problem, if that makes any sense. All right, what else? TNA was there because they were actually making money in India. They had that deal with Sony. Rinka King.
I'm running out of questions. Get your questions.
You're running out of questions. All right, let's do a couple more here.
Okay. I got some comments that we can throw up.
All right.
Here's something for you.
Andrew has to embrace baldness and get that Charles Xavier look going. Then he could get it. You know what? I think that's what it is. I think my hair prevents me from getting the powers of the great Charles Xavier.
Okay, here's a good one on TV.
Would AEW getting a stronger new TV deal help the optics? Yes. I think it's not necessarily how strong of a deal they're going to get. They are getting an increase. I don't have a number. And if anybody tells you that they have a number, specific, like a solid number, they're lying to you. That would be a lie. I saw so much nonsense. I mean, you know, it is truly amazing. I've made the mistake of just scrolling on X, the For You. Have you done that experiment?
Yes, and it's interesting.
And I just want to leap out my window when I see it because it's the worst possible takes on everything. Everything is so overly sensationalized and lies collectively. And it's either I get politics, which I hate. I hate it. I don't want to see any political messaging on my social media. It actually that is one of the things that drives me up the wall when I see the dumbest possible takes for politics from people that do not understand anything. Two, I get these terrible wrestling takes, either for WWE or AEW, but now it's so much anti-AEW. And it's not done with a point of criticism like, hey, I was a fan, I'm not into this anymore. It's blatantly done as a deterrent for people to tune in and watch. There's something weird with that. I've never seen that with anything else. It's not... And it's not tribalism. It doesn't exist in the real world. That weird separation and what we see online on Twitter, that is not anybody that is a functioning human being talking like that about a TV show. Not a thing. I've made that mistake, but yeah, it would silence a lot of that, you know? There's so many people saying there's no way they're getting a deal. They're out. You know, there were people, prominent people in the world of professional wrestling that blatantly went and said that it's over for AEW. You know, these are people that were in the know at some point, and they were obviously wrong, especially with WWE meeting up with WBD. I was quiet on that because I knew it was nothing. People are asking me, how come you're not talking about it? I said, there's nothing to talk about. It's not a thing. They're not going to WBD. I think Tony's fine. I think his positioning is fine with WBD. I think you know, his conversation with Zaslav most likely was a positive. I don't know the exact specifics of what Tony is asking for. I do know certain things that he wants. Simulcasting is an important part. That's something that he has discussed, to be able to simulcast this on Max. We've already seen certain AEW shows go on Max in certain markets. Whether or not that was a test or not, and that was a temporary thing, it still shows that they were doing something there. The pay-per-view structure is in question. Is he going to continue doing 8 to 11 pay-per-views, 8 to 10 pay-per-views a year, 12 pay-per-views a year, and charging you $50 a month? Or is that going to be wrapped into some sort of bundle? I don't know. And Ring of Honor also is another question. Tony mentioning that AEW presents Ring of Honor as an option here is very telling, because he's open to having the AEW brand as that, and that becomes a show. So these all matter. You know, all these little hints that we've been getting matters here. It's just a matter of it getting done and them announcing it. But yes, it would help the optics.
Okay, super chat.
All right. Just out of curiosity, this is Corbin 101. Just out of curiosity, is there actually real life heat between Kaiser and Gunther against Vinci? I don't know. I have no idea. Is there real life heat?
I don't know that. I've not heard that. I know they reboot DaVinci's character, and they're bringing him back to SmackDown, I believe, next week.
I don't know. Maybe they decided that he wasn't a good fit. I have no idea. That is a good question, though. You know, when that happens, you always wonder, like, what is it? It could just be a management decision. Like, hey, I think you'd be better off doing this. We don't need you as a stable. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. You know, something that was said to me, and this has nothing to do with any of these guys, right? Somebody in WWE said this to me. He said, you know, there are some amazing talent and people that are beloved in the world of professional wrestling, but there's always a reason why they're not here. There's always a reason why they decide things.
A perfect example of that was the Britt Baker stuff. No one knew that she was what she was going through and suffering from.
Yeah, people don't know. People don't know these things. So, you know, I don't like digging in the personal lives. Like, people have asked me about the Adam Cole stuff with Britt. I have no idea, and I don't care. It's too personal. Like, I don't want to. I'm not TMZ. No. You know, I don't want to discuss people's married lives or their relationships. All right, give me another one.
Okay,
fired away.
One right up your alley.
All right, would Swerve versus Danielson get a 5-star rating from Dave Meltzer? If it is a 5-star match, yeah. And it should be. Those two guys are tremendous. I think Swerve, I saw this guy at Evolve years ago, and, you know, you saw him, and you're like, this guy's great. What a tremendous talent. But, you know, him getting fired from WWE was the best thing ever.
Here's one.
Where
for
would he
you.
Be now
this
there?
Is from Rob Dog. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Add it. Rob Dog. What's up, Rob Dog? I'm a big fan of Bruce Pritchard. His podcast really brought me to the best parts of wrestling. What do you think has kept him around in WWE? He's obviously a Vince guy, but seems to have endeared himself to H. Listen, you don't have too many people in the world of professional wrestling that have been there from the beginning of that WWE expansion. You know, he's a guy that went there in what, 89, 88?
Something
like
20
that, something years old. He was a kid. 23 years old, 20 something years old.
But he didn't look like a kid.
He didn't look like a kid, no. You know, a lot of, there aren't too many of those guys with that knowledge. You're talking, I mean, almost 40 years of WWE knowledge, and he was really on the side of Vince. So he's an important asset, regardless of his relationship with Vince or what you think of him as a character. When you are looking to have key people in positions, you want people with the most experience that have dealt through the worst and the best. A guy like Paul Heyman, a guy like him. You know, unfortunately, Jim Cornette's one of those guys. He's been out of it for a while, but he's another mastermind of professional wrestling. Listen, he does his shtick, he does his thing, but you can't take that away from the amount of knowledge that he has. You know, Shane McMahon is another one. People are talking about, why would AEW want Shane McMahon? Hypothetically, why would you not? You know, you could, as a TV character, as long as you have good creative for the talent. The talent is a blank slate. It's your job to present them in the most, you have to set them up for success. That is your job as a writer, as a booker, as a company. You have to set all your talent up for success. And when you fail to do that, that's when it comes off bad. Shane McMahon could be a very valuable asset for them. But also, to have a guy like Shane that could you could throw an idea to, whether or not you use it or you think it's a great idea, it's still somebody that has been in the mix forever and has some knowledge that you do not have access to. No matter how much Tony Khan prospers in the world of professional wrestling, he will not have the knowledge that Shane does, because Shane was there next to his father. And his father technically is the only real successful, he's the last promoter. He beat them all. He created a national expansion when people were attempting and failing. Again, I'm not talking about the man, I'm not talking about the character, I'm talking about what he accomplished with that company. These are important things. Jeff Jarrett is another one. Here, Derek had it. Pritchard, Jarrett, and others are able to stay around because they have charm and their organizational skills. Yeah, of course. All right, give me another one. We'll do a couple more. We'll go to 11:30.
I'm going to do some rapid fire ones.
Yeah. Do you see Raquel coming back to side with Liv Morgan, maybe as her bodyguard? I don't see that now. Maybe that's the next one to feud with Rhea after maybe Rhea beats Liv, but I don't know. Would she fit in that Judgment Day? That's a good question.
I'm not
actually
convinced she's beating Liv, but we'll see.
I don't think she should be. No. I think she should chase Liv for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you maybe culminate it at Bad Blood. I mean, obviously that's where you're probably going to do it. And that show makes a lot of sense for a lot of matches. Out of all the names that they've had, such as
that one,
Great Balls of Fire.
Don't bring it up.
And Taboo Tuesday, Bad Blood makes the most sense for this, for a pay-per-view name. Cyber Sunday.
Here's one for you.
Is Daniel Garcia leaving AEW? I don't know about that. His contract is running up, but
Up now or coming up.
Yeah, I have the date somewhere, but, you know, he's a good talent. He's a really good talent. People in WWE, they brought him up to me, you know. He's one of those guys. Him, Ricky, Jade was one. There are certain people that they have an eye on. They seem to have dropped that. It was weird how they did that. You know, Daniel Garcia came out. He was in the mix with Ospreay and Max, and then that was it.
All right, got another one for you. All this right. is right up your alley.
As a product, who does AEW miss more, Punk or Cody? Punk. I don't know if Cody would not have transcended into what he is in AEW. I don't think that would have been possible. Not because he's not, you know, not because of writing or his abilities. I think he did not want to be the focus. And sometimes that's a detriment. you know. And the crowd regurgitated. They did not. And that was so bizarre how the crowd rejected him. They started rejecting him. But Cody had tremendous matches. The ladder match was great. The cage match with Wardlow was great. The Andrade Fire match was great. Him and Dustin, one of the greatest matches I've seen in that company. It was all of his creative, not his matches or him or his ability, but the crowd was turned off to him. You also, here's the problem also, you got the most of Cody in that pandemic era. And that was a very strange period for that company. It was on hold. It was almost like, okay, we want to wait and see what happens. So we're just going to keep tuning in. I know that this isn't what the company is, but we're just going to keep tuning in to see what happens. I think, but Punk, however, was the main guy. Punk could have led into a lot of really interesting programs. And they had the biggest one of all, him and Kenny, him and the Bucks. I mean, if they could have made it work, they should have. And obviously, it could not have happened. That man was enraged over there. He did not want to be there anymore. And look at him now in WWE. Happy as a clam. What current top WWE star, male or female, does AEW have a chance of signing in the future? Top. I would have said Drew would have been fascinating if his creative was where it was a year ago. You know, actually it started a year ago, the Drew McIntyre Rising. You know, he had some bad moments. His creative wasn't that great. I think he would have been a major asset for that company. But look at him now, bigger than ever. Who else is there? Top WWE star, well, male or female?
The one that's probably on everybody's tip of everybody's tongues is going to be Becky Lynch. But as long as she's married to Seth, I doubt it.
I don't know, man. You know, I have to tell you, Becky, she has accomplished everything. She has her daughter, her husband's there, her friends are all there. That's her family.
Yeah.
And that is a, you know, no matter how much you want to wrestle, you don't want to, you're established there and they take care of you. You have the bus, you have all that. I mean, will it be the same treatment in AEW? No, probably not, because they don't have those things lined up like that. So it depends. Does she want to go and wrestle, or does she want to, you know, be there? I think she wants to be there. Hassan says, does Tony Khan want to convince fans that WWE are better than AEW with the way he always books ex-WWE wrestlers to beat AEW originals? Mercedes seems that she will run through the whole division. Mercedes is deserving of it, though. You know, you have to look at, there's been a lot of WWE guys that have gone there that have not had that. Buddy Matthews is one. I don't think Buddy's booking has been great. I don't think Aleister Black's booking has been great. We could honestly say that. This was a guy that a couple of years ago when this company started and he went there, everybody was saying, well, wow, that is a future AEW world champion. And he has not been that. I think Pac has been positioned okay when he's around. Chris Jericho, you needed Chris Jericho, so that made sense. I think for the most part, they haven't done that. They haven't taken WWE guys and put them there and said, oh yeah, these guys are better than them. Christian is a mega heel.
The only one for me is Moxley.
Moxley, very deserving of his positioning.
Yeah.
You know, and also you also have to look at it this way. The professional wrestling business at this level, right, on the highest level, is a very small business. And a lot of people forget that. They see it as, well, you're grabbing WWE guys and putting them here. Well, who else are you going to get to put on national television? When you're trying to build a product of an established viewership, you need established names that people are going to tune in for. I thought, you know, Adam Copeland, you know, he obviously ex-WWE guy. He worked his butt off. He really did. He didn't come in there as a WWE guy and say, okay, well, I'm going to win everything and I'm going to do nothing. He did so much. So I don't necessarily think it's a case of, like, I need to grab WWE guys and put them on TV and make them the top guys. Because if that was the case, you would have all those guys holding all the titles. I think it's more of, I need to build the pieces here with established names and veterans that I could kind of rely on for certain things. Also, very small business. There's so many wrestlers that I absolutely love and I adore that people have no clue who the hell they are. But they're not the ones to be on national TV yet. They need to establish themselves. All right. Brian Knight. We're getting to the end. Brian Knight. Who should the Lucha Bros first feud with in WWE? There's so many people, man. I actually, out of all the moves, I like this move. I think it's a really good move for them. You know, Penta's 40 years old. He's never been there. He's actually accomplished so much in AEW. He accomplished it all. I mean, other than being a world champion, that was a guy, again, that was another guy that was said, you know, he could be an AEW world champion when that company started. Multi-time tag champions, had great matches, headlined a lot of show, you know, matches, a fantastic wrestler. He wants to move on and do something else. And I think this is great. Who should he feud with? I don't know. Yeah, give me one.
Oh, I got one right at the tip of my tongue. Give me DIY and the Lucha Bros.
DIY and Lucha Bros. I just hope they don't like dump him in the LWO. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can feud with those guys.
Fear, right?
You know, Phoenix and Rey, I want to see. Holy moly, can you imagine that?
Yo, so good.
All right, let's do a couple more and then let's get out of here. Two more.
All right. Okay, this one's a good one.
All right.
This one.
Zach, why did AEW let their tag division die? I feel like those belts have been irrelevant for a long time, and I hate it since I can't see anything, and I'm squinting because my vision's going, and I need reading glasses. Long time, and I hate to see it since they used to be the best division. I don't know. Again, I think it's booking. Where are the Bucks?
Yeah, taking Bucks off TV and not wrestling as much, I think has hurt it.
You know, also, I think part of it is they split the rosters, remember, somewhat. Like FTR on Collision.
FTR is exclusively on Collision, and they're putting on bangers, but no one's seeing them.
But nobody's seeing them, and the focus drops sometimes, and it depends who's focusing. It's still a small company. I don't think there should be an excuse, because they have such great talent there to have these tremendous matches. I don't know why. It's not a prime focus. They really had a good couple of years. I mean, up until recently, the tag division was banging. I think it'll get there. I think they're just in a weird lull period. I think with the Bucks holding that title and not really defending it in wrestling. You know, but they also need to establish top tag teams. It can't just be Penta and Phoenix, Alistair and Brody King or Buddy Murphy, you know, it's the same teams for the last, I don't know, 18 months in that mix. It didn't really go well with the Hardys. You know, that didn't turn into what they had hoped. There were a lot of ideas on what they were going to do with them from beginning to end. And neither one of them, again, some their fault, some not their fault. I mean, I don't blame Matt at all. I mean, Jeff's obvious issues came into play. Also, injuries came into play. Matt got hurt a bunch of times. He debuted in the middle of the pandemic when that wasn't supposed to, at the peak of the pandemic, start of it. So I think it's just too many moving parts and no focus. Give me another one.
Okay. This one, thanks for all the questions, guys. This, yeah, man. You overwhelmed awesome. Us.
This is great. No, don't say us. Don't say us. They overwhelmed you.
Well, I'm the one.
I'm totally fine.
Okay.
I'm cool as a cucumber. It is your fault. Thank you. Ryan says, how likely is that Dynamite's going to go 3 hours? I hope it happens, as I don't watch Collision or Rampage. I, you know, is it possible? Sure. You know, that was the initial story, that the network wanted another hour of that show and they compromised on Rampage. The big mistake with Rampage was selling it. You know, I don't mind Rampage. Like, I don't mind that it's on. Uh-oh, here's Sean. More like Beyond the Butt. You see what you did, MJ? I let you on, and Sean's now here insulting. He's upset with the show.
It's all my fault.
I mean, that was initially, you know, there were stories. Or is it Kate? Ooh, is it Sean or Kate? What if it's both of them? Just sitting there heckling.
Could be.
It could be. It could have got 3 hours, sure. I mean, if there's money involved, if they're throwing them a lot of money, then I think they would consider it heavily. I don't know what you do with Rampage. I think they did a not so good rating. I don't have it in front of me for Friday, but it's the summer, it's the Olympics. I like having it on. Like, I don't mind having Rampage on and watching it the next day. Could they go 3 hours? Sure. Should they? No. I don't want a third hour. It's such an easy show to watch.
I got a couple of last questions to wrap it up, okay? This is one.
Okay. Paul Anthony Moss. Whose in-ring return will have a greater impact for AEW? Kenny Omega or Adam Cole? Kenny Omega.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny, for sure.
Of course. Easy question. And then the last one, I'm just going to say, I'm just going to ask. Someone asked, what kind of surprises are we going to get it all in, like in the Battle Royal? Or anywhere else? Any thoughts?
That's a good question. I'm sure some legends will be in there. Somebody different will show up. You know, probably a couple big names. I don't think this Battle Royal is going to be like, you know, the typical Battle Royal. There's going to be something. Uh-oh, look at Sean. I know of one. You know, I highly recommend you guys sign up for Fightful Select. I say that not only as a Fightful, but also as a client. I not only am part of this, but I also am a subscriber of Fightful Select for many years. And you know how I read Fightful Select? And it's the best way, okay? Because I'm an effing old man at this point. Do you know how I read it? Mm-hmm. I don't go to Patreon and read it. I read it in my inbox, in my emails, and I get excited. It's like getting mail. It's like getting a newsletter that I've been waiting 3 weeks for, but I get it every day. Look at these rumors. Put this on right now. Put that on the screen. Now I have address these rumors. Andrew flew all the way to Turkey. Andrew flew all the way to Turkey to get the top shelf Fightful Select service. Yes. That's where I got. That is exactly what I went to Istanbul. They picked me up in a limo. Next thing I know, they're just force feeding me issues of Fightful Select. No, seriously, it is one of the most well-done daily updates that you could get for Fightful Select. I don't say that because I work here. I say that because it's actually really good.
Let's end with this one.
All right, give me another.
Because this is a good one. Ties in. This ties in. Brian and I, this last one.
Oh, when will Andrew versus SRS Bloodsport match happen? You do know that I'm a third-degree Taekwondo black belt. I am an All-American champion. I fought in the Empire State tournaments. I fought in the All-American tournaments. I have proof of this.
Interesting.
I have proof of me doing the Van Damme split holding my trophies. I have that also. My father has it. He brought it out on his party to show everybody. Look at what he could do. Now he can't even walk. That's what he said. That's what he said to people.
Sean follows up with, I looked Josh Burnett in his eyes and he didn't do anything.
Why is Sean's avatar broken? Why is it yours?
I don't know.
I have no idea what you did here. This is why you're banned from the show. This is exactly why. Guys, that's it for this week. I will not be here next week. I'm going to be on a boat sailing into the Caribbean. We're going on the family trip next week, so I will not be here. But we will be back the following week. This was a total blast. Oh, see? Now I'm in trouble. Wow, shaking my head. See? Now I'm in big, big trouble. If you want more Andrew and Rich, tune into Matt Men. We'll be here Friday, 10:30. Not here, on my YouTube channel. But we're very Fightful positive. We're big supporters of Fightful. That's it for today. Goodbye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.